All right. So this is the part of the workshop that you write with us, that you create, co-create with us. And this is a time for you to ask questions for clarification, and also know that you may get your question answered by someone else, to someone else who may be asking it for you. And there may be things that you don't even think of that another person will ask that will actually pertain to you. So whatever comes in, know that we are working with all of you, right? So that all of you can get as highly into alignment with your body and its mission and your mission as partners as much as possible. All right, so where shall we begin? Daniel will point out.
Hello, this is Diane.
Oh, hello, Diane.
Hi. This is very timely and wonderful for me that this workshop's happening today, because a couple days ago I was checking on a spot on my face with a doctor, and it came back with skin cancer, and it was quite a shock to me. It was a basal cell carcinoma, and it's just a tiny spot, but I think it, to me, it meant a lot, meaning that it was a lot more than just a tiny spot on my face. That the last year or several years have been very difficult. I've been very hard on my body, taking it out on my body, and sort of saying I don't care, or I don't care if I live or die or whatever. So this has occurred, and I'm wondering beyond that what I can do. At this point in time, I do channel, and I have talked to my unseen friends about healing it for me, helping me. And so what I heard, and I'm not as good at channeling as you two are, but I heard to sit for 2 hours every day and work with them, and they will come and help heal this as I think about, you know, various things. They said one problem was that I there's a lack in my life, and to feel whole, bring that into my thinking. And I was wondering if you have any suggestions. If the problem with the 2 hours is that I get squirmy, it's very difficult to sit for 2 hours. And I'm wondering if I am...
No kidding.
Yes, and you told me about that, and I want to respect the body if it wants to move. But maybe I'm wrong that it isn't 2 hours that I'm hearing from them.
All right. We would suggest that to start a person from 0 to 2 hours a day is a big leap. It's a big deal. And, of course, when Spirit talks to you, and we know this from our own experience with all of you, and as well as the channel and Daniel, is that, of course, we don't have time like you do. So, hey, 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours,
yeah.
It's nothing. It's really nothing. But we know that somehow or another, when we say the word hour, people go, a lot of time. And what we would suggest is that it's an invitation for you to negotiate with your body, because your body is not trained to sit for 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Right? It's going to rebel. So you're going to have difficulty being able to fulfill a promise to Spirit, because you and your body haven't worked out the details. Mm-hmm. So what we would suggest for you and your body would be to talk to your body and ask the body, how much can you tolerate today? Mm. How much time is it okay and comfortable for you today? All right? And also, in the negotiation with your body, say, body, you're going to be sitting, and I'm just going to be in my mind, I'm going to be focusing, I'm going to connect in and get messages and things like that. Before I come out of that circumstance and so on, what would you like for you? What kind of energies would you like for you? Would you like some nice nurturing love energies? And of course, there's healing energies involved there. But if there's anything that the body would like, it may just say, well, you know, I'd like a little nurturing. I'd like my heart to be touched, or I'd like to be held, or sometimes the body has something that it would like. So ask the body what it would like, and you add that to the end of the time, whatever you and the body agree upon. And so that when you go and you talk to your unseen friends, you can say, you know, body and I are going to be able to do so much today. And you're going to we're going to have to negotiate this. So you'll have to negotiate it with them too, the unseen friends, because in order to work with you, they also have to learn about, you know, dealing with your time limitations and your energies and so on. They have to learn how to work with your body too. Most people tend to think that spirit, oh, has got it all together, knows everything, and therefore, you know, might as well just do whatever they say. But don't let yourself be fooled by that, because it's not really about that. We are not authorities, and you are, you know, the petitioners for energy and love and information. We are all working together. And so if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for us either. So you want to make sure that you're comfortable and you and your body are happy with the process. Otherwise, the rebellion of your body will get to be so much you won't be able to do it at all. Mm-hmm. And then you'll start feeling guilty. Oh, they said 2 hours and I didn't do any today and I feel so bad. Oh, gosh, what's going to happen? I'm going to have skin cancer or maybe I'll die. Whatever, you know, the mind can really get into all sorts of scary futures. So, and you can also shame yourself and feel bad and feel like you've let yourself down and you're not being a good person and you're not being spiritual enough. And you can go to all those places which are very dysfunctional and very negative for your system. And your body will not be happy with that either. So we would suggest to recognize that you negotiate everything every time. All right?
Okay,
so when you enter the session, you say, you know, body says we can do it 20 minutes today. So let's see what we can do in 20 minutes. And you want to honor that connection. It's very important for you to have this connection because, as you see it, it's a way for you to lift beyond the matrix of energies that have contributed to and created the cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, we want to point out that the skin cancer that you have is not the type that is normally deadly if it's caught in plenty of time. And so therefore, what it is, it's a whisper, it's a message. Now, your body will always hold, and everybody's body holds a particular lineup of potentials, ways to die. Your body is always going to hold it. For some people, holding death over them is one of the ways to get them to become present with their life and make their life count here and now. For example, one of our friends that we converse with periodically has leukemia. And for the most part, it stays more or less at the same level, not too devastating. But what it means is that she continuously has it over several years. She could die from this disease. People die from leukemia all the time. But she has not seen the progression of the leukemia into it being worse just because she has done dietary changes. She's done a lot of personal and spiritual development. And the disease has not gone away. Why? Because it's her body's way and her spirit and soul way of saying, okay, you respond really well in the face of death. You see? My gosh, with death as your advisor, right? Then you start seeing, oh, the value of life. And she's gotten to the place where she realizes not only is life of value, but she deserves to live. She deserves to be alive. She deserves to have joy in her life. And over time, then when she no longer needs this, when she is in that sense of flow of this personal and spiritual development and no longer needs that reminder, no longer needs that background always saying, you know, if you start, messing with your body, you're going to leave it. You're going to miss your mission. You're going to miss the opportunity. As long as she no longer needs that, that she's taking the opportunity, she's making the choice to live, it will gradually fade away. You see? Mm-hmm. And so for you, you want to look at it this way. This is your body's first message about it. Mm-hmm. Saying that you're not going to die from this. Mm-hmm. However, hint, hint.
Yes.
You need to be aware that there are forces at work mm-hmm. that could be destructive for you. And you need to decide that, to number one, to live. Number two, to enjoy your life. Three, to be deserving of a good life. Mm-hmm. To be deserving to save yourself, to give yourself that beautiful life. And number four is to recognize that even though you may feel lonely, and that's something very common going on, particularly this year, actually, it's part of a process of a very deep transformative change that is going on in this particular year of 2008. One of the processes is that you're freeing yourself from certain old attachments, but the initial experience of this freedom is a sense of as loneliness or isolation. And it doesn't necessarily mean at all that you're lonely, but you may feel this energy temporarily as part of the release of stuff that you have been attached to. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
All right. So what we want to suggest is that when you feel the loneliness, recognize you're in between, in the middle of the process. Mm-hmm. And therefore, so to ask for more connection with your spirit helpers, with your unseen friends, because you know that when you sit down and talk with them and you get and you feel them touch you mm-hmm. and love you, you don't feel lonely then. It feels good. It feels wonderful. Now, there may be a certain amount of human interaction you desire, mm-hmm. and that's fun for you, and it's enjoyable for you. But look at choices that you've made in the past. You may have made a choice that certain people in that it was difficult for you to deal with, and the relationships may have been a bit messy, you decided it's better to be alone than in a messy relationship, right?
Yes.
Right? You have to, at some point, decide, I've done it now. Okay. I revoke this choice. Okay? It's not a choice that's useful to you anymore. Because what it does is it sustains the concept or the idea that all your relationships are going to be messy.
Yes.
And so, oh, well, I don't know that I really want that. But, oh, gosh, I want a relationship, and I want this type of, and I want some friends like this, and blah, blah, blah. But then, there's all this problems, and then there's their issues and stuff like that. So recognize that you get to a point where when you're ready to connect with people, realize that if you hold a resonance of light, if you hold a resonance of freedom and you value yourself, that's part of this lesson with your skin cancer,
yes.
is valuing and loving yourself, and that you're worth having a good life. It's worth saving yourself for a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Then who are you going to connect with this time? Who are you going to attract into your network? You see,
yes.
It's not going to be the same type of person as you have had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So give yourself permission. Yes, there's going to be some issues. Everyone has them. But it doesn't have to be a toxic mess.
Yes.
All right? It depends on where you're at. But that belief got entrenched in there, and that needs to be released. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Now, from a physical standpoint, your body is telling you that you don't have enough richness in your life.
That's true.
All right. Now, we're not just talking about, like, money, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about depth and richness of stuff. Now, one of the ways you can, as a healing food, give yourself some extra richness are foods that are very, very high in dense in nutrition, right? Number one. But number two, especially, increase your intake, perhaps, of essential fatty acids, oils.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like the omega oils. The omega oils have a richness of life. Now, a lot of people go, fats, you know, calories, oh no. But we want to remind people that any of you who make an effort to eat a low-fat diet, it may or may not be right for you. You know, the diet gurus say this and that and the other, and invariably they'll have to, you know, eat their own words later. You know? Oh, this is not good for you, not good for you, not good for you. Oops, it's actually good for you. You see, that kind of thing. So recognize you're your own authority. And you know how much to take. Your body will tell you. But it wants more richness.
Mm, okay.
So it wants like those omegas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Because that feels like the richness, the wealth. You know, in the old days, it was like that the fat of the land. They call it the fat of the land. You know, and fat was the thing that gave the best taste at the feasts. You know, you didn't just, you know, cut off all the fat and eat the lean meat. Oh, no, the fat was the glory. The fat felt good. It means you feel really, what is it, content. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you in particular, we sense you need more in your balance for your body. And when that happens, it also assists your skin in handling various frequencies and rays of light.
Mm.
All right. The oils in your skin do so much positive work with them. Everyone needs to have an adequate amount. But for you, you might need a little extra for a while.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear one. Quite a pleasure. All right, who's next?
Hello, Galexis.
Hello.
I'm Caroline.
Well, hello, Caroline.
In working with moving forward and enjoying life more and feeling good, I have found that I have a fear of feeling good. So that when I start to feel good, I will do things to my body, like get a headache or tensions or something like that, so that I won't feel good. And I finally figured out that I guess I have a fear of feeling good.
This is a very, very good comment. Because a lot of people have that programmed into the relationship with their body. Right? So one of the things, of course, that you were trained to do by your very educational system, by the hints on the contextual side comments of people, your parents, other authority figures when you were young, you got the idea that having fun and feeling good and all that kind of stuff led to trouble. Because when you're irresponsible, as a child naturally is, when you feel good, you tend to do things that stretch your boundaries, that stretch your power, that stretch you. And that's natural to your spirit. And when you're spirited, you can get into a lot more trouble. You see, you do things that appear selfish, which a good little girl probably is not supposed to do. Or you may do things that are mischievous or things that are outside the control capacity of your parents or whomever. And so as a result, feeling good, you got connected in your subconscious mind, which is the looked at, okay, consistent pattern here. Okay, every time she feels good, she starts becoming a person that something unpleasant then will happen to. So we would suggest you look back into your childhood, look back into your adolescence, and when you were feeling really, really good, there were times where you put your foot in your mouth and embarrassed yourself. There was when you felt good, you started doing things that other people frowned at you about. You got judgments. Maybe you felt really good and really happy, and you were all enthusiastic, and then all of a sudden the rug got pulled out from under you. You know what we're talking about, right?
Absolutely.
All right. So the message that you got is that feeling good leads to something unpleasant.
Absolutely. And I still feel that way.
That's right. Now, this is an arrangement. The patterns become, they are an arrangement, a way to keep you under control, because the suspicion here is that you are not trustworthy to be responsible and conscious and aware. You were doing this to protect yourself. In fact, what you were doing was using your child self, your inner child, as your advisor. The inner child, anytime you're starting feeling good, the child comes in and says, wait. You know, it's not a good idea. Look what happened to me. I just want to warn you and protect you. And should anything bad happen, you know, no, I'm warning you. You know, keep the lookout. Something bad's going to happen. And so your child self rushes in to try to help you out. Why is she involved in it? Well, because she was the one that saw the pattern and got into it in the first place. You understand?
Yes.
Absolutely. So what you want to do is, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, as you want to love the child, you want to free her from this pattern. You want to give her a reality in which she can feel good consistently, and just feel better and better and better and better. And then she can go and do all sorts of wild and crazy things with no downside to it. So give her the freedom to do everything she wants to do, however she wants to do it, and be completely and totally supported regardless. Now, you didn't have that support, but you can give it to her. You do it just in a meditation. It doesn't take very long to do. You understand?
Yes.
All right. You've worked with your child before already.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very present in your energy field, like she's watching very carefully.
Yeah, I've tried to give her some freedom to play and do what she wants, but apparently I haven't given her enough, I guess.
Well, you have to take off of her the burden of warning you.
Ah.
You have to say, look, I'm the adult, okay? I'll take care of it from here on. I want you to just be a kid. I want you to be a child and have fun with no responsibilities. And look, here's some guardian angels to play with you. All right? Now, you stay there and have a wonderful time. And I'm going to go on now. And I'll deal with it. I have new resources. I have other stuff. I'll work with that. And you don't have to deal with it anymore. Don't worry about me. I'll be taken care of just fine, so you have a good time. And after about, you might have to do this maybe two or three times over a period of a month or two, and then she'll get it. You see? Because she's worried about you. You haven't made another choice. You see? You haven't created another belief to replace that. So she feels she has to advise you to the old system.
So I need to create a new belief.
You need to create a new belief that you can feel good and that you are responsible and conscious enough that you can enjoy it and that you are not going to do something stupid.
Okay.
Okay? And that you have protection. You see, one of the things about feeling unsafe about your future is that you and your body have had a relationship where your body doesn't trust you. Your body thinks that if you start feeling good, you're going to ignore it even worse, or you're not going to be nice to it. Really concerned about that. So your body say, wait a minute. You know, here's a child coming in saying it's dangerous. We also notice that sometimes when you feel really good, you start just, you know, going way out there and leaving us and not really, you know, paying attention to us the way you need to. And just assuming that we're like going to be on the ride with you and so on. And we, you know, we're concerned. So we're going to just kind of pull you back here so you stay present and aware. So a headache. Hey, you don't ignore a headache very easily, do you? You know, it's kind of in your face, right? So one of the things that the body will do is create something that will pull you back to the present. So part of your agreement with your body is that I choose, when I feel good, I'm going to share it with you. You see? I am going to be present with you in the body. I'm going to ground this good feeling, connecting with the earth, and I'm going to ground this wonderful feeling. You see, because also you've had times in your life where you've not been very well grounded.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so when you feel good, all of a sudden all the channels are open. That's when you feel good. The channels are open. Energy's flowing. You're like in the middle of the river of light, and it just feels great. But you're not used to it. And if you have a fear about it, it suddenly, on an energetic level, becomes too much for your system to deal with. You don't have the grounding to discharge excess. Now, some people can feel fear. They discharge the excess, and they just bring themselves down gently. But not you. You'll have to create something to pull yourself in because you don't have the discharge channels as well developed as some people. And when you have a lot of energy flowing freely, if there's any kind of imbalance or tension in your emotional bodies, then, and you don't have the discharge, you go into an overload. And in order to avoid overload, you will put a blockage somewhere. And the interesting thing is that the blockage that shows up to block the energy to keep it from flowing so freely and overwhelming you could be anywhere. It's not necessarily consistent. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
You know, it could be here one time, it could be there another time, it could be over here in this arm, it could be in that foot, it can be anywhere. When you have stuff like this that happens, and all of you, if you have stuff like this that moves around, that means that really you don't even need to have those kinds of things happen at all. You're just not well grounded. You need to have a free flowing channel. And if you have a belief or a fear that something negative could happen, then immediately you shrink and then the energy flow is too big. You see, and in your shrinking, you'll have to block it somewhere. Oh, today, maybe it's in the throat. Oh, tomorrow, maybe it's going to be in the knee. Who knows where you're going to have to block it? You see? So, if you find yourself in this situation, then practice grounding and then send excess energy into the earth. Or you can go hug a tree. That works too. You know how trees really like any energy you send them. You can send them the most yucky, toxic overload dump of emotional garbage and junk, and they just love it. They love it. Yum, yum, yum. It's energy for them. They appreciate it. They're grateful for it, actually, because it doesn't stick to them. They don't resonate with your stuff. So they see it as energy. They don't see it as garbage. They don't see it as limiting. They just see it as raw energy, and they'll take it. See, anger can also have a certain energy of passion about it. Fear can have a certain level of excitement about it. And the tree can accept the positive aspects of it just simply because, well, it's just energy. It could be anything. And they will take it from you. If you cannot discharge it well through your feet into the earth, if you don't tend to ground really well, send it into the tree. Hold the tree. Touch the tree so you're in link with the tree and send it down to the roots of the tree. And then when the overload's down in there, then ask the earth and the tree to bring energy back into you and to flow it gently at first until all the channels are kind of open. And then as the channels are open, more and more and more and more. And you can practice this at times, even if you're not having some kind of heavy-duty emotional thing or fear or a limiting belief showing up in your life. And you can expand your energy field and you can expand a lot of your power. So those two kinds of approaches can assist you in being able to let yourself feel better. The third piece, though, is the agreement with your body. Because your body is the one that holds the fear as well, and it's holding the impact of the limiting belief. So as you work with your body and it becomes to trust you that you're responsible, when you feel good, that you stay responsible for your reality. No heavy burdens here, all right? We're not talking about oh, heavy duties and shoulds and oughts and all that kind of thing. What we're talking about, though, is that you are just very present, you're aware, and you are in ownership of what you feel and you think and you believe and so forth, and you stay in awareness of what's going on those levels. You stay in awareness of how the energy flows through your body. And so if you practice that awareness and negotiate with your body about it, you're saying, wow, I'm feeling really great today. Hey, body, how do you feel? Let's look at this and let's work together so that we can feel like this more often. The body has to be retrained just as you do to feel good. It's been trained to feel bad. It's been trained to feel that that's normal or that's natural or that's protective. So to feel good is almost a vulnerability, is almost it can be a scary place just because it's more unknown. And what could it lead to? So bring your body into the partnership consciously together. Say, what shall we do together? How shall we do it? And love your body, touch your body with love and appreciation and so forth. And once your body gets it, it's going to maybe take a few times until your body really gets that you're serious about this, that you're really true to your word about it, that you're staying conscious and aware and that you're bringing it into it and you're loving it and that it's okay for it to feel good and it's safe to feel good, your body will come along with you. You see?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, dear one. All right. Who's next?
Hi, Alexis. This is Debbie.
Well, hello, Debbie.
I have a question about being birthed on the planet with something. And I was born with a pretty severe curvature of the spine. My legs were crooked. I had one knee that was deformed. I had surgery to straighten things out a bit. I've always lived with it, and I've lived with the pain. It has limited my movement, and I've often seen it as a gift because I've noticed that if my energy is low, I have more pain. If my energy is high, then the pain is minimal. But I find that in the last couple of years, I've had a real desire for the whole thing to be healed. And you were talking about, like, with the leukemia, and it's this indicator. Or is this a lifetime gift giving me indication of where my energy's at?
All right. This is not death talking. What this is your body is seen as your crucible of growth. You know, the symbol for the earth, the planet Earth, is a cross in a circle. This is, of course, there's a certain religious orientation to this, but the body is seen as the cross. The body is seen as the place of pain and suffering. And in the circle is the wholeness of the experience then leads to spirituality. And we would say that there are two factors that we see immediately that are showing up in this particular case and often show up in cases where people come in with something that has pain inbuilt into it, like this. The first one is that it is, as you have discovered, it is a feedback mechanism for you to keep you grounded, to keep you here, to keep you in attention, to keep you in alignment with things. It keeps you that way by limiting what we call your freedom of movement. It corrals you to a particular orientation which you have actually very, very beautifully have accepted, and you have stepped into this orientation. You are living within your limits better than most anyone with the same type of situation. And we congratulate you for that because you are allowing it to be part of your teacher. Now, part of the choice of doing that also was in a society in which growth and growing and pain were equivalent, in a sense that for you to grow, for you to become more, you see, it was an attempt to come above and beyond, and but the process was painful. And this can be healed. Indeed, you are at a place to where you don't really need it anymore. You know the concept that you can grow through joy and fun and comfortableness. But your body took on this particular job, and your body needs to be the one to be released from the function. You need to let your body know it's done a darn good job. Okay, you and it agreed that it was going to serve you this dish, and it has done it, and it has done it well. It has done it great, because you see, other lifetime experiences that you have had in your life, when you have not had something of this nature, in your evolution, you had gone to a place to where you were quite the leader. You were quite the royal being. And in this kind of sense of royalty, you had this feeling that you could just do anything you wanted to, because, hey, you were the king or the queen or whatever royal figure you were. It was all yours. You could do whatever. And in a sense, there's a part of you that said, no, I don't want to go and do that. I want to actually get an experience in this particular lifetime of being someone who is more hidden, someone who is not so visible, because this lifetime, I need to go more within. You understand?
Yes, I do.
It's not a punishment, okay? You're not punishing yourself for, oh gosh, you know, I went power crazy and my ego, blah, 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 and so this time I'm going to pull reins on myself. No, no. It was, you decided you wanted a different experience than being this big, important person, and learn how to have power even outside of that high visible zone. So you've learned how to build your personal power from the inside this time. You understand that, right?
Yes, I do.
Right. And you have. You have built will. You have built strength of self. You have a greater sense of focus and purpose. You would have, you know, otherwise you probably, if you hadn't come with this, it would have been very tempted to have been a guy that was kind of like the playboy type. And you said, no, that's not really serving what I want to do in my mission this time. You want to be present. You want to experience the ecstasy of being. And we know it's difficult when you're in pain, but if you experience the ecstasy of being and become fully present, very often the pain will transmute, and there are times that you have had the pain transmute, mostly.
Yes, I have.
And you've go, wow, look at that. And then, of course, the pain comes crawling back in. But there's a certain sense of awareness that you are coming to a point in your life to where you can transcend it, where you can, in a sense, lift beyond its limitations. And then your negotiation and your contracts with your body can be also renegotiated, and you are approaching that time. The second piece thought, in a sense, that has happened here is that you have not had what we would call lots of lifetimes. And it's not that you're new on the planet as a undeveloped soul. Oh, no. You're very highly developed, very highly spiritual, huge, huge light being. But you just haven't had that much activity on planet Earth. And you are very attracted to this experience because of what's going on the planet. And so you came in and your energy field was too big, in a sense, for the body. And it was really hard kind of getting all the pieces of you really wanted to be here. So you had all these pieces you wanted to come into the physical plane. You couldn't bring them all in. You can't do it. You see, the beings that all of you are, huge, brilliant, glorious, awesome light beings. And when you incarnate, you have to take, okay, I'm just going to take this little piece. Okay, and that piece is what incarnates. So only a piece of you really comes in. You can't bring all of you in. Well, as you were getting born, you were saying, but, you know, I really want more of my consciousness. I don't like shrinking my consciousness. I don't particularly like this. Did I really sign up for this? You know, that I had to like shrink down to this little piece? I really want to bring more of my awareness and memory of who I am. I want to bring more of my light through. That's what I want to do in this lifetime anyway. I want to shine my light. So why don't I bring some more through now? And it just didn't work. Too much light, it just twisted things. And sometimes people who are born with twists and curvatures and bent stuff and whatever are bringing in too much energy. It's just, it kind of blows the circuitry of the fetus a bit. Now, you weren't able to bring it all in, but you actually have more energy in you than most people. Are you aware of that at all?
Not as much when you talk about physical energy or just
energy. Psychic energy, spiritual
yes.
energy.
Yeah.
You have enough energy for two or three people on a spiritual level.
Yeah, probably as a kid I would get identified like that a lot.
Yes, right. And you knew that you were huge, but you just didn't know how or why that was or how you knew that or that kind of thing. And you knew that somehow or another you were stuck in this small body. And there always was this kind of sense of limiting that expanse of yourself. Well, one of the things that you're doing in this lifetime, of course, is recognizing that the body is not really a limit to your light. Once you start remembering who you are, which is what you're doing, and once you start really taking your power back, you've come to a place in your life where, yes, we sense that you could probably do an amazing amount and just about completely heal it. We don't know if you could heal all of it. Your belief systems right now don't really hold that possibility, but you do hold in your belief systems at this point that you could heal about 80% of what you have remaining now. You see?
Thank you.
All right. Now, the idea here to do this, it'd be like what we were talking about earlier, is going to the tree and sending in any kind of limiting energy or belief or whatever into the tree, and then letting the energy come back and gradually building up more and more energy in your body, and then renegotiating with your body that you can hold more energy in the physical. Because it's really the more energy you have in the physical, the less pain you have.
Yes.
But you have to practice allowing this, the vessel, your partner's vessel here, the body, to be able to have more energy, because its mission, it thought, was to keep you from having a lot of physical energy. It was to keep you here, grounded, connected to the planet. Because, of course, if you had come with lots of light, it would have been really easy for you just to float right on out. Just no problem at all. So to keep you here and to keep you doing the growth work that you had chosen to do, the body had to accept this limit. And it did, willingly, for you. So thanking it and then releasing its obligation and slowly training it to allow more energy into it, and letting the energy come through the spine and feeling it all the way through the spine and opening up the spine, gradually opening up the spine with more and more energy. So the channel of light that goes down through your spine, connecting all your chakras, starts to get really huge, really bright, and really wide. You want it to get about in diameter, perhaps about a foot in diameter. Right now, all the light that you can really let in is about a pencil's diameter. You understand?
Yes.
Because it goes this way and that way and so on. And right now, it would just be too difficult for the body to move it this way and that way and so on. But if you do it gradually you can build your channel and straighten the channel until the light becomes really big and bright. Now, all the way down into the ground, to the center of the earth, and all the way up above you to your higher self.
Excellent.
All right? And as you practice that, you will also find almost magically coming into your network of connections are particular types of healers who may be able to contribute a piece to the healing, that have a particular technique that may be really powerful and useful for you. You see?
Excellent.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
You're very welcome, dear one. All right, next.
Hi, Galaxis.
Yes.
Paulina.
Well, hello, Paulina.
My body is rebelling.
Your body is already rebelling.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
And in a full swing. It started probably right after this little personal reading we had last time.
Ah.
And it was very clear in personal readings that I need to take care of and align my physical body.
Yes.
Because the rest of them is just, okay, waiting upstairs, just to downstairs to be taken care of.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it starts with my miscommunication with the body. It started to really feel bad because I started to feel pains, tremendous pains. Pains sometimes so bad, and it always starts around 12 o'clock and finish by 3 o'clock a.m. So I have to stay awake till that time. I'm not quite sure it's a heart pain or it is esophagus pain. It doesn't really matter because it's still I need to start to restart my communication with the body. I need to find a way to talk to him because I cannot even walk. Spasm starts and pain starts too. And without walking, my body is suffering again. So I need
All right. And what part of the body where does it start when it starts around midnight?
Usually it start. It's very interesting. It either start is a pain in the chest or pain in both my hands. Both of them, and it's so bad that no painkiller can take it.
And then somewhere around 3 a.m., it just kind of fades out?
Till 3 a.m., about from 11 or midnight till 3 a.m. I'm even afraid to go to bed.
All right. And then what happens after 3 a.m.? How does it shift?
Suddenly it just shifts going down. It's completely released, and I can go sleep.
All right, well, that's really quite fascinating. Your relationship with your guides is really quite interesting. Okay, so, all right. Okay, well, we're gathering them around because, now, you're not the only one who experiences this. You made an agreement, you made a choice. Actually, we should say it this way. You made a choice not so long ago that you were going to be with your body and take care of your body. But you didn't really honor it. And so the body got a bit pissed at you. All right? And it says, by golly, we're going to, you know, we support your mission. We know there's a lot of stuff you've got to do. But when you have your time, your downtime, when you think you're going to rest and ignore the world and drift off into sleep and escape everything, you've got some other surprise coming. It's when we're going to get you. We're going to, you know, open up the floodgates on because you can't help but connect with us in the middle of the night. And you see, if it's during the day, there's distractions and so on, but in the middle of the night, it's a bit harder to do it. But you made a choice that you wanted to work with your body. You made a choice. And this is not that long ago that you wanted to do well for the body. And since you reneged on it a bit, then you're going to have to renew the trust relationship with your body. You're going to have to make new promises that you follow through on. Right? But don't overdo your promises, you see. Because like in Diane's case, 2 hours, that's, you know, 2 hours to meditate, you know, that was, Yes, that was a perception, but that's a bit of a big load to take on. So you start by promising certain small things. Your body has certain foods it likes that are nourishing for it, certain things that are very supportive of it, certain love to give it. And so, but when you're in pain, sometimes you're really angry at your body. You know? And if you're angry at your body and your body's saying, well, okay, you're going to get some more of it. Do you remember when you were a child and if your mother or somebody wanted to punish you and so on, but you gave a lot, you know, you talked back and sassed them or whatever? You know, sometimes the punishment would be worse. You realize that when you're being told off and when you're being told your punishment, that was the time to keep your mouth zipped, right? Because they would just ramp it up a little bit longer. They'd say, okay, all right, an extra hour you have to do, blah, blah, blah. So you learned. Well, in a sense, your body has taken over that position. It has taken your power for 3 or 4 hours a night. And it says, okay, you've got to listen to me. You've got to take care of me. You've got to follow through with me. This is all the stuff that you did, that you have ignored. And this is all the stuff you have mistreated me with. And by golly, you're going to pay for it. So in a way, you're in that SM relationship, that sadomasochistic codependent relationship that some people get with their body, you got into some of that and your body's really giving you what for. All right? But there's another feature that's here which is actually making it a little more difficult for you to have a really clean, clear break with the situation with your body. And that is that there is something in your life that you should be doing. Something that you chose that you were going to do when you were here as a light being, as a light worker. And we would suggest that it has a lot to do with stuff you're already doing, but in a way, it's a calling you to a higher level of it. Have you ever heard of the wounded healer?
Yeah.
It's an archetype. Mm-hmm. The wounded healer is an archetype that comes from the shamanic times. In the villages, those who were the special healers, the special agents who had connections with the other side of a very special and very high level, spiritual level, often had mysterious, horrible ailments. And sometimes these mysterious distortions, horrible ailments, also scoliosis at birth was often a mark of a very high degree healer, shaman, magician, right? So it's the wounded healer is the one who's come to bring light, but they themselves are suffering. And some of these illnesses and situations that the healers would have would be so mysterious. No one could heal it. No one could figure it out. No one could get past it. And what we're seeing here is that there is a higher level of loving and healing you have come to do. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes, but every my attempt to go to a healing was interrupted one way or another, and I wasn't sure why.
No, this is not about you going to a healing or getting a healing.
No. Mm-hmm. Giving healing.
Healing other people.
Being a healer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every time I was going to this, every time it was a root commands, which is usually cut me off completely, or snobby, you know, how people looking at you, sometimes they're better than you, something like this. It mm-hmm. usually cuts me off, and it always was a big pain in the heart. Not long time ago, I have similar experience with a different channel. But again, same kind of part.
All right.
Every time interrupted in heart.
Yes. And that's one of the places it starts for you.
Yes.
Right. Also your hands. Those are your healer hands.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the message that they're telling you here is that when you go to give a healing, that you, of course, open up. You're very vulnerable, in a sense. And when you allow yourself to be blocked and stopped and interrupted by what we would call external patterns, you know, judgments that are sent your way or interrupts and distractions and so on, this is your ego speaking, all right? This is because your ego wants you to continue suffering. Egos are just so weird that way. They want to build you up to where you think you're the hottest thing on the planet, and then they want to pull you down and go, ha-ha.
It's every time.
Yeah, and they are so skilled at doing it because they've been practicing all your life, right? And so recognize that any time you go to do a healing or you prepare to do that, you know what to anticipate, don't you? You know something's going to come out of the blue, right?
Yes.
Okay. If you know something comes out of the blue, and you know there's going to be an interrupt, a distraction, a judgment, a blockage, or something like that coming from outside you, from other people or from your environment to you, how can you prepare for that? What state of consciousness does it tell you need to be in?
It's meditation.
It means that you need to hold your resonance and hold your power.
Okay.
All right? Because you see, when you were a child, yeah, those interruptions and those judgments definitely were sustained. They didn't just stop. They stopped you in your tracks because you felt powerless to go forward. And you're just in habit of that reaction, number one. So when that comes up, you say, okay, there's the blockage. Okay, this is a time for me to retreat now. Now, you would anticipate that if you don't retreat, that there's going to be some nasty challenge, right?
Yes.
Some big scene, some problem, or something like that. It's messy and ugly and unpleasant, right?
Yes.
That's the child's fear. Okay, like we were talking about earlier, you're using your child as your advisor. Child's coming in saying, danger, danger, danger. Run, run, run. Run for your life. Keep your mouth shut and run. In other words, the child is saying, the only way to deal with this, the only way it enabled me to survive is to give your power away and turn around and don't do it. And your ego then says, oh, it's a message from the universe. You're not supposed to be doing it. And that you bought that, you know, your ego's like, ha, 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 ha. Then your ego sees itself as your advisor. Or you're seeing it as your advisor. And you're letting it sneak in there. Your spiritual evolution is so high that you're going to have issues with your ego. Every one of you, the higher you could go, the more you're going to have to come to full, complete terms with your ego. It's your first enemy and it's your last on your spiritual path. In other words, at the very beginning, it can keep you off your spiritual path for a long time. And at the end, you are ready to go into full transcendent consciousness. And who's at the border keeping you out of there? The ego. Yeah. No, you don't deserve to go there. You're not ready to go there. You can't go there yet. You see. So recognize that it's part of your evolution. You're evolving into a higher frequency being. And as you evolve into a higher frequency being in whose allegiance is to heart love. And not survival anymore, but heart love. That you have a mission. So before you go out to do any healing, you need to prepare yourself for the mission. And you arm yourself, not for a fight, but you arm yourself to go in triumph. And your armor is basically your power and your truth of yourself and your will. And you arm yourself and you stand stand and get yourself really ready, because you know the interruption's going to come. And when the interruption comes, you say, ha ha, there it is. And don't take it personally. It could come from somebody even close to you trying to upset you. Don't take it personally. You understand?
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
You have to hold your resonance now. That's number one. Number two, in the night, while you're in pain, you need to love your body and to use that incredible energy and power that you have, channel it into healing yourself. Just,
yes.
You know, without any judgment at the body, without any poor self-pity, or without any resentment at the universe, or where, whatever those emotions are, you have to clear those out by stepping into your power and taking your power back from the pain, taking your power back from the body, taking your power back from the ego, taking your power back from the child. When you get all your power reaccumulated, then you take these incredible hands and the energy that pumps out of them, that burns them, that hurts them, and you take that powerful energy and you put it into your heart. Even if your heart is in pain, you put that in there, because your heart is in pain and your hands are in pain and your body's in pain, because you're opening your channels and you're resisting, you're fighting it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In the most painful hour, my hands like oven.
Are like what?
Oven.
Yes.
So
they're so hot. That's the healer hands. You're opening up the channels of power. Now, we want to talk to you about this level. Anyone who does healing, and probably others of you here listening, do healing. And when you do healing, if you've noticed, have you not noticed that your hands get warm?
Yes.
Or they change temperature, and you can tell stuff is going on because you can feel it in your hands somewhere. Right? When you have your hands burning at that level, that's only an indication that the level of energy that wants to come through there is huge. But it will not hurt unless you're resisting it. So what we would suggest, as scary as the idea is, if you will negotiate with your body to open up the floodgates and practice opening up so that you can allow more of that energy in and allow energy through and allow more energy through and allow more energy through and give it back to yourself and put yourself in the loop, healing yourself, holding your hands together, feeling the energies, making choices about your life and your willingness to do this healing. Now, part of you came with a certain energy of service, and service is a very tricky road. But you're not a martyr service. You're not a slave service. You're not a grovel and give everything away for free and nothing and sacrifice yourself kind of service. This is a service that is of such power that when you get this online with yourself, when you get this energy straightened out, not only will you feel good between midnight and three, you'll be asleep and you'll be traveling around the world healing. And when you do healing, you can go to people and touch them and they can change just like that. The level of your gifts is totally unknown at this time. And that's true for many of you. Your gifts are beginning to open up. Have you noticed? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that the doors are opening for some of you very fast, like for you, Paulina, and for others of you, it's opening slowly. You're all on that track. And the ones that are willing to do the service and to really get out there and give this energy to the planet to really help heal this planet and help heal and make the changes, there's going to be a point where you're going to realize that the energy that you use and that you channel through yourself and that your body can tolerate, because right now, for example, most of you cannot tolerate that level of energy. It's really stressful. But the amount of energy that you can tolerate is the amount of energy that probably is used by four or five people in their life. And your bodies are just have not been, you know, evolved or been constructed to carry that level of energy. Even though they know it's coming, they don't know how to carry it. you're the one that's going to have to expand your channels so that that energy can come through. And it will heal your body, and it will also, as long as you are doing your service, the healing energy will move through you and not get stuck in you. Because, see, when you resist it, dear one, Paulina, it's getting stuck in you. So this is healing energy, but it's stuck in you. So we'd suggest the whole experience with the tree, and just practice, even if you're in your bedroom, just practice discharging it into the earth. All, you know, during your day, discharge, discharge, discharge. Maybe it won't build up so much by nighttime. If you keep discharging during the day, discharging energy, putting your hands on things just to heal them, you know. Do you have any pets? You can do that with animals. They love it.
I have dogs who are living more than the other dogs live because I'm holding my hands on them.
Absolutely.
I have had a dog with which was diagnosed with a cancer when he was 7, and he died when he was 16.
A dog that lived till 60?
16.
16, all right.
Yeah, for dog's years it's fine, but he was diagnosed with cancer when he was 7.
Right, well, if you have enough energy, it raises the frequency so high your pet cannot die of it. Right? So, you see, you can give it to your pet, other people's pets, you know, they will love it. You know, and give it to plants, you know, and then when you speak with your friends, come up to them and put your hand on them, touch them, and imagine all this beautiful light and energy going into them to whatever extent that's comfortable for them to receive. If you want to really juice somebody up really big time, you need to ask their spirit, soul, higher self, or ask them verbally for permission. But without that, just start practicing getting your energy out of there instead of letting it get stuck in you. Okay?
Okay.
You've got too much energy to be stuck in you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear one. You see, it's quite an adventurous new time, and all your bodies are upgrading, so to speak, because of the new frequencies that have come in the past 10 years. So it's going to be quite exciting challenge, quite an interesting adventure and opportunity for all of you to experience your bodies functioning at a higher frequency level, particularly when in your culture, as you get older, your bodies are supposed to have less energy. Your bodies are not supposed to function as well. They're supposed to fall apart and be fragile and picky and fussy and allergic to everything. But if you notice that as you give your body energy and loving your body will stop being allergic to the environment. It'll be stop being allergic to being here on the planet. It'll, you know, some of your bodies are dreadfully resistive and reactive to things and are highly sensitive. And that's a good thing for a while, but you have to learn how to put in more and more energy so that the power of your body increases and then it can handle it. There will come a point, dear ones, where you will be so in love with life and so enjoy your life on this planet and so willing to live this life and willing and experienced in allowing so much energy to come through you that you will move into longevity and your aging will reverse. In fact, we're going to teach a workshop in October specifically on that. You see, but you're upgrading your body so you can handle this greater energy and this greater force because you're moving a whole reality into fourth dimensional capacity from three dimensional capacity. This is a big change. You came here for it. And this is what you're doing with your body. Your body needs to be your partner. You're not going to be able to survive and live in the new reality until you and your body are in harmony and agreement with each other. All right, another question?
Hello, Alexis. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank everyone else for being here and co-creating this. This is fabulous, and I'm so grateful for all this information, and I'm apologizing to my body and asking for forgiveness.
Well, you can do some more of that later with us, too.
Okay.
But good, you're on the ball. All right.
So, I'm very grateful for that. I wanted to talk a little bit about expanding our channels. I know we're changing from third dimensional to fourth dimensional reality. And in this co-creation with our bodies, like one of the things that I've been doing is doing my work as a sacred witness. And I'm finding that I feel like in my body, it's like rippling changes are occurring that I, you know, that I don't understand, but I just go with the flow of it and try to just be peaceful about it and releasing. So I'd like to talk a little bit about like doing our work, in service. I work for my imagination, magic, when there's people that come together for co-creating. And I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about what our, from our body's point of view, what it would like in this co-creation with us for expanding our channels. Like, what do we do? How do we expand our channels to work together?
All right. Well, first of all, the function that you see yourself do is a great determinant of how you work the energy. For example, you're saying as a witness. A witness moves the energy in one way, and then you were talking about dreaming new realities. A dreamer moves energy slightly differently. So you want to know what it is that you're doing at what time that you're doing it. When you're bringing people together into a community and in a sense are seeking a union of spirit, seeking a interactive, woven kind of weavings of a net of light, which is what happens there, to create a sense of oneness. It creates a sense of community, a sense of oneness, and where everyone in that moment can feel that they belong, regardless of their uniqueness and individual orientation and so forth. That's another function. All right, so you, what you want to do is recognize when you do different functions, this moves energy slightly differently. Otherwise, what will happen is that you will end up overloading, and then there will be snapbacks in which you will have to take breaks or have to take rests, or things will not follow through. Okay, so let's just go through those particular three as example. Then, when you're a witness. Witnesses actually are required, in a way, as part of their service, to hold memory. You know, it's like a computer has got to have enough gigabytes to really hold adequate memory if you keep putting more and more and more stuff in there. You can put encyclopedias, you can put in books, you can put in all sorts. But if you exhaust the storage capacity, you can no longer store stuff in there. It can be a problem. You can't put new stuff in. You can only remove stuff, and that doesn't work when you're a witness. So what we would suggest for a witness person is that you need to step into an energy field of witness, and your body needs to be adjusted for this too. And that is that your body and you step into a column of light that is a network of many dimensions that can hold this information. And when you get information, when you witness something, you take everything that you witness, you step into this column of light, and you release it to the column of light. Because you cannot store it in your body, you cannot store it in yourself. There's too much. Because witnessing actually happens on many different levels, and if you're going to do witnessing for any length of time, you're going to end up overloading your system with memory banks and limiting your function if you want to unfold various futures. In the past, a person did not do more than one function. So their body was completely constructed along the lines of one particular function. But you guys here in the new age, in the new spiritual development, are a kind of multitaskers, right? You want to do lots of things. You want to do the whole plethora of things. You want to be the adventurers. You want to have it all. So you're going to have these different functions. So we would suggest for a witness function that you get a crystal, a quartz crystal. We would say the bigger the better. Not that a small crystal cannot hold a lot of stuff, but we would suggest that generally witnesses had big crystals. Now, we know you must have a big crystal around. All right? So go and talk to this crystal. Generally, the crystals that are witnesses are not round. They're not balls. All right? Very often, the best shape of crystals for witnessing is monuments, or they're more they have more kind of chunkiness. They have lots of facets and faces, like cathedrals and so on. But it can be rather smooth if it's a big monument, right? And it can have lots of. It does not matter whether it's clear or busy, because it holds information in ways that may not be apparent to you anyway. So, but getting a really big crystal, and every time that you feel you have done your witness and you step into the column of light and you have released that to the column of light, then we would suggest that you go to the crystal and you sit at the crystal and put two hands on the crystal and then download it into the crystal. Okay?
Thank you very much. I have two large ones, and I was just wondering, one is a starlight crystal and the other is a resonance crystal. Would one of those be a better preference?
What was the first one?
It's like a starlight. It's where masters in the past were able to extract like the gleam in a child's eye at a birthday party or a beautiful sunset, and they were able to put it.
Well, there's your witness crystal, yes.
That mm-hmm. would be the witness one then. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Thank you.
All right. Now, if you're going to be a dreamer, now if you're dreaming realities for other people, now you have enough energy and your body can handle if you dream dreams for yourself. But if you're going around dreaming dreams for other people, really, you know, big complex dreams, and also the part of you that's dreaming new reality for the planet, this can, to a certain extent, overload the body, and you can start taking on consensus or collective pain onto your body. Now, sometimes people who have a lot of pain, like, for example, Paulina, sometimes some of her pain is not just hers. Some of hers is the world's pain. All right? And so, because she is a healer who's come on a large scale, she could work on a very large scale. And so sometimes she's going to pull in, you know, the world's pain. And there's plenty out there. You know, you were attracted to come here and help, and you saw the pain, and you said, some light's going to make a good difference. So if you're going to dream, and you're going to dream for the planet, and we sense that you in particular, yes, you're going to dream for the planet, of course, and for the reality, then we would suggest that you need also to have a place where the dreams are, in a sense, held, but it's not in your body. If you dream for some other person, you need to give that dream to them. All right? You will take that dream that you have dreamed and you see it as a complete energy form. And we would recommend seeing it complete within a huge diamond. You know, a diamond shape or a double tetrahedron. Huge, huge diamond-like shape. And see the dream and place the dream in it. And give that dream to whoever it is that you're dreaming it for. Okay? And you connect it to them by pulling. You know, you've seen these balloons that, you know, children carry on. And they're filled with the helium or whatever. And they're floating up there. And there's a long string. And the kid's holding the string. What you do is you take the dream, and you place it over the head of the person you're giving it to. Bring a string down. And anchor it into the crown chakra of the person. Now, we're assuming that if you dream a dream for someone, that you've already cleared it with their higher self or with them in person or whatever, right? But even if somebody that you, doesn't really you want to talk to you or anything, but you want to dream a dream for them, you dream a beautiful dream for them, and it may not look exactly, it's not like you're creating something for them. In a sense, you're receiving something for them more than anything. You're receiving message from their soul as to their potential and possibility, and then you build on that. So you have a dream that's in there, connected to their resonance anyway, but you want to clear it with their higher self. So you will call up their higher self, and who will come in a form for you, and they will stand above the person and maybe just behind them a little bit, and you will ask if it's all right. And if it's all right, you install the big diamond with the dream and link it into their crown chakra. And then it's not in you any longer.
Yeah. I noticed that my body, like, been doing this work in the last few weeks. It's like my body just, it feels like I'm, I can't explain it. It's just different, like it's moving.
Well, yeah, because in order to do this type of work, you're stimulating your nervous system in ways you haven't done before. So some of that is part of the more that you meditate and the more that you practice doing all sorts of spiritual work in your conscious awareness, the more that you do that, the more that you kind of exercise your nervous system and your endocrine system. Your endocrine system has to do with your motivations, and so you need those for dreaming and imagining. And then your nervous system has to do with the time or temporal aspect of it, seeing it in time and seeing it in its unfoldment. That comes with your brain, and your nervous system, you know, holds that kind of electrical resonance of the dynamic of the movement of it and experience of it. And so what it tends to do is that the more work that you do like this, it doesn't mean necessarily that dreaming is doing it. If you were doing meditating and talking with your spirit helpers every single day, that would also do it. If you were an intuitive by your work, you will end up doing it. It will just upgrade your nervous system, and sometimes you will get vibrating and tingling and weird sensations in your body.
Sometimes go numb.
Yes, if that happens, it means you're not grounded enough and you're an overload.
Okay.
And so you need to discharge down your legs, or go out and hug a tree, or what you need to do to discharge that excess. You've got too much going on in there, and your body's not capable of handling it where the body is yet. You've got to either come in on it slowly and build it slowly so that the body gets more practice holding more energy, and it's expanding. It probably will do a lot more after today, after you and it get into your new agreement and that kind of thing, and you start working with it and you have more trust between the two of you. It will be able to hold more and more energy and enjoy that, and then you won't have these kinds of extra sensory kind of stimulations. Some people can even, yes, the numbness, and even have difficulty with walking and all sorts of things, because there's so much of the nervous system is engaged in these frequencies, and your body's not really, you know, the physical body's not evolved to that. And what you're doing is you're making your physical body, in a sense, linked up to your Merkaba, your light body, and you're upgrading it and and increasing the resonance of it so it can hold and work with more energy, so that you can bring through the energy of like 8 or 9 people or whatever you need to do the work. All right, so discharge it because it's now, if it's only temporary and it doesn't bother you, or it feels actually pretty good because there's little waves and, ooh, gosh, that feels good, you know, then, of course, it's not an overload. It's just your body's responding and so on. But if you feel numb, your body is saying, hey, that's too much. You're going too far. It's going on too long. Please pay attention to me.
As far as nutrition, it feels like eating certain kinds of things don't have the same feeling. It's like eating food that's unless it's like really pure food or something, it feels
That's right. The body will ask for food that's lighter. However, if you're not grounded, you can't do it.
Yes.
If you eat lighter food and you're not grounded, your body will start to die. It can't handle it. It will, and it will complain miserably until you change your diet and eat something more dense, like nuts and heavy proteins and stuff like that. Then your body will ground, and then it says, okay, now let's go the next step, and it'll be available again. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you should be on that kind of diet. You understand?
Yes. Could we talk a little about grounding? Like, what are other things to do besides hugging the tree and that? Just letting through and imagining, going down deep.
Right. Yeah, sending a light, an amber light, down through your legs from your root chakra down into the earth all the way to the center of the earth and plant your feet down there. Feel the earth, the love of the earth. Feel the energy of Mother Earth coming up through your feet. Right?
Thank you,
really allow you. And then when you feel grounded, you'll feel also a kind of relaxation and a bit of heaviness in your body. A kind of a delicious, soothing kind of feeling when you're grounded. And when you get that, then that's an indication it's okay now for you to send energy down there and discharge energy into the earth that may be excess for you. Okay? Otherwise, go find a tree. Actually, you don't have to find a big tree. You know, a little tree will do. You'd be amazed at how much energy a little tree can handle. You know? And even a pet animal can handle a lot more energy sometimes than a human can, because they don't have the same resistances and blockages and issues and agendas and blah, blah, blah that humans have. And also because they are wanting to evolve, and the more energy that gets pumped through them, the higher they get, and they are very happy too about
all that. So
it
doesn't harm them?
No, it doesn't, because they're very grounded. And so anything that's excess, they can discharge with no problem.
There was a movie called The Golden Compass where each person had a demon, an animal. And I was just wondering what that was about.
That was a movie?
Yeah.
That's an interesting imagination.
Yeah. They called it a demon and they needed it for their power.
Well, it sounds like some form of ego, yes?
Okay.
All right, some kind of advisor, ego advisor. Well, because it has a mischievous side to it, yes?
Yes.
All right. So, yeah, when you're doing dreaming, though, you want to be able to anchor it in another person, but you walk away because you don't carry any of the dreams yourself that you give away. You may remember vaguely what they are, but it's not for you to hold. Your witness will have a crystal and can go there and access and hold energies and things like that. But a dreamer has to let it go, because the dreamer has other dreaming to do. If you dream it for society, for the world, then you want to maybe give it to the planet in a meditation. Put the beautiful diamond over the planet and link it into the planet. And find and your mind will tell you what place on the planet to link it in that will function as the crown chakra for the planet. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, and that's the dreaming. And then finally you have the gathering, the energy of gathering. When you have the energy of gathering, you're going to be taking many, many different energies, and they're going to be flooding through your body as well as everybody else's, having the connecting of the energies of everybody in there.
Yes.
All right. And so what you want to do is to see everyone there as in a sense, on a spinning plate, like a vortex, but it doesn't go down or up. It's like a plate. It's like a plane. And you want to see them all on this plane. You want everybody to be equal on the plane. So you kind of sense a plane with all the spirits of the people that are there, all the lights that they are, and networking. And then, in a sense, you can see the energies move around through everyone.
Yes. May I say what I've been doing, and then you could say, comment on it? Would that be okay?
All right.
I make a sacred round first, and then I call in all the unseen friends, and they're around the round, and there's many circles of them around, and then I call you in, actually, also, all of you, coming from above, and then one of the things I do is I create a cone of, let's a cone that's like narrow at the bottom and is wide going up, and it's like swirling around rainbow colors, and then another cone coming from up above that's the narrow part is inserted into the cone of the lower cone and swirling rainbow colors around everything inside the sacred round. And then I do other things too. I open up my heart and I send energy, green energy from my heart to the hearts of each of the people there.
All right. Well, that's beautiful. And indeed, in a way, you're way ahead of them. But that's part of your role. You're holding a resonance that's a fifth dimensional role here by doing that. And that's fine. That's a beautiful thing to do. There are other ways to do that, but that is a beautiful way, and we would not suggest that you stop doing it. What you do, though, in order for all who have, you have gathered to partake together, because you see, they're not all of them going to get on the fifth dimension with you there, right?
Yes.
So you want to have a union amongst everyone. So once you do that, then you want to focus on the energies between the people. Because the energy between them is what's creating this disc of light. That everyone rides on this supportive disc of light. It's kind of like a magic carpet, you know? Imagine them all there on the disc of light.
Okay.
All right. And see them all interconnected with beams of light from everybody to everybody else.
Beautiful.
All right. Then in your interaction with them, you want to get very earthy, very grounded, very down to earth with them. You want to touch them, look in their eyes, do something.
I do that. Always.
Yes. Okay. Everybody can do that with and get connected to everybody else. Bodies love that, by the way. They just love it.
I always look into their eye and see the divine.
Right, but everybody's got to do. If you're going to organize everybody into a community or a union,
I've been just doing it all privately and quietly. For people in business that don't know.
All right, well, see, that's
happening.
That's more like dreaming, actually. That doesn't really integrate them into the union. But what that does is creates a vision of them being able to, at some point, participate in a union. Mm-hmm. So we would suggest when you do that, for somebody who's not aware that you're doing it and who's not wanting to participate in a unity of or communion with a group, then what we would suggest you do is that you put this incredible vision that you have in the diamond and give it to however many people, you know, individually. Just duplicate it and give it to several people so they all get the idea of the potential of the gathering, of the union. Now, if you have a group of people who are willing and conscious who want to be part of that union and unity, then we would suggest then everyone can touch each other, get to meet each other. It's like, you know, at a network at a party. Everybody wants to meet each other. And not necessarily everybody sit in a circle and say, well, I'm here tonight because I came blah, 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 blah. I hand the microphone over to the next one. That's too linear. That doesn't really get union. So what you'd want to do is give everybody the opportunity to meet everybody else and just touch everybody and look in everybody's eyes and say hello and just meet everybody and introduce themselves to everybody individually in the group. Now, of course, the number of the group will determine how long that takes, but it shouldn't take more than about, if you have about 20, 30 people, you could get people really in a very high degree of synchronicity in about 10 minutes by having them just introduce themselves to each other and just give each other the name, where they're from, and one brief sentence about themselves. Just nothing much, because it's the touch and the connection that's the really important thing. And then everyone can sit down then in a circle, and you've got a union.
Yes, because what I've been doing is if I've been introducing two people, then I've been doing the work privately, not telling them. And then connecting.
All right.
Connecting.
But you see, what you can do is you can put the vision of the diamond in front on top of both people. And sometimes maybe you can just kind of, you know, by the resonance, by the fact that it's a similar vision or same vision, essentially, it will resonate together.
Well, it's in a garden, so I know that, you know, those that come want to come. You know, make the invitation and some may come, some may not.
All right. Okay, so we can assume that this is what you do for our workshops when we come down to Rancho Santa Fe, yes?
Yes. How did you know?
So if all of you want to experience something really juicy, and now you know what it is when you come.
I usually
so
don't.
We'll see all of you there, right?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear one. And all right, so what we're going to do here is we're going to take another break. Thank you so much for your questions. And we're going to take a break, a little bit shorter break this time, 10 minutes. This time, and we're going to be a little bit more strict with the 10 minutes this time, not 25 minutes or something, but more like 10 minutes, because it's enough for you to get a little nibble or something, go to the bathroom, whatever you need to do, and so forth. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit, just a little bit more before the closing meditation on what's up with you and your body and some of the interesting stuff we're going to be doing with you. All right? So we'll see you in just a few moments. Surrounding you with light and love as always. Farewell for now.